All right. Wow. That's loud. Can you hear me? I opted to use the lapel mic tonight because I'm a little nervous, so I might move around a little bit. Is that better? All right. Always getting started is the tough part. I come before you tonight asking your forgiveness for in the past, and you all know, and I've already spoke to the East Local about this a little bit. I asked their forgiveness. But in the recent past, I came to my own knowledge. The Lord put it on my heart that what I was doing behind this pulpit, behind the pulpit, was not His will. I stood before the congregations that I stood before, and I preached the Word of God, but to my use, because of the anger in my heart. And I made a rash decision. I made that decision to put down my ministry. And through the counsel of my brothers and the grace of God, I was allowed to withdraw that. And I've had a time to contemplate, to have God lay upon me the burdens He desires, and show me that it must be His will and not my own. And I think that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Page 217, please. This is Mosiah. Starting at the 118th verse, this is King Benjamin's proclamation. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children, and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticing of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread through every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent. And even at this time, when thou shalt have taught thy people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken unto thee. And now I have spoken the words which the Lord God hath commanded me. You know, all of us adults, We were children once. And if you think back in your youth, how often did you think about how great it would be to be an adult? How often did you think about when you went to the store and you were, I want, and mom or dad would give in to you, and they would reach in their pocket and pull out that green piece of paper, and they would hand it to somebody, and then you would get something. How great it would be to be an adult. And now, as adults, the Lord's asking us to be like a child. Human nature tells me, I'm not a child anymore. You know, when in King Benjamin's time, in the times of old, I picture children as these obedient little workers for their parents. They never backtalk. You know, they were very submissive. They had chores to do. They had duties to do. They were a part of that family unit. And you look at children today, and they're individuals. As soon as they can talk, they start becoming individuals. I wasn't submissive to my parents. I fought them every step of the way. I was a boy. You know, that's my excuse. You did too. Our will is to be adults, making decisions, choices for ourselves. God's will is for us to submit to Him, our eternal parent. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What was it that King Benjamin said here? And the page is gone. The wind must have blown my page. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of our Savior shall spread through every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Romans 10:3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Well, I say to you, none of us are ignorant of God's righteousness because we have a knowledge of the Savior. We know He walked this earth for our example. He died for us. For our sins, there's not one person here that can be considered blameless except the little ones. That's what God has told us. He gave us a knowledge. He gives to us a commandment. He asks us to follow after that. Be submissive as a child is to his father. He is my father. He is your father. Our will is unrighteous. Knowledge equals responsibility. That's why we see young people as coming to an age of accountability. It's different. The church can put an age on it, but it's different for every child. I've said it before. I didn't grow up till I was about 30. That didn't give me any excuse. If the Lord had taken me before then, that would have been on me. Now I have a knowledge. Now I need to do something about it. James chapter 4. Starting at the first verse. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? How about that war? War. When you think of war, you think of big guns, explosions, men fighting in the street. We're at war every day. And you know who we're at war with? Ourselves. It's an inward struggle for each one of us to submit our will to the will of God. Is it not? Are those weaknesses not what Satan preys upon? Because Satan has no power except the power of a manipulation. And he finds that weakness within you in the arm of man's flesh, and he preys upon it. Why do we set ourselves at war? How many hundreds of years of example do we have? Why are we such stubborn creatures? Why is it so hard to submit? I know people that know the Scriptures. Well, you all know the Scriptures better than I do. But I've been told to my face, when I've asked, why don't you submit to what God wants? Oh, I know I'm supposed to, but I'll never do that. It's not in me to do that. They're in a tough spot. They have the knowledge. They're not ignorant. They're not blameless. They desire that internal lust, that desire for things, that desire to be established and put on a pedestal. Not that desire to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Page 267, back to Mosiah. Starting at the 141st verse. And it came to pass that after many days the Lamanites began again to be stirred up in anger against the Nephites. This is the kingdom of King Limhi, the son of King Noah. Okay? You know the story. You've read it. And they began to come into the borders of the land round about. Now they durst not slay them because of the oath which their king had made unto Limhi. But they would smite them on their cheeks and exercise authority over them and begin to put heavy burdens upon their backs and drive them as they would a dumb ass. Yea, all this was done that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. What was that word? That word was Abinadi coming to King Noah. That was the... That was that point when that unrighteous kingdom was given an opportunity to change their ways, because Abinadi brought the word of God to them. He prophesied to them that if they did not change, that this is what would happen. And he prophesied that they would be led about like a dumb creature, a soulless, mindless donkey. And now the afflictions of the Nephites were great, and there was no way that they could deliver themselves out of the hands of the Lamanites, for the Lamanites had surrounded them on every side. And it came to pass that the people began to murmur with the king because of their afflictions, and they began to be desirous to go against them to battle. They were whining. They were complaining. They were uncomfortable. So they went to their king, that father figure of the kingdom, of the country, of the land that they occupied, just like children will do. They were whining and complaining, and he gave in. He gave in. And they did afflict the king sorely in their complaints. Therefore, he granted unto them that they should do according to their desires, according to their will, according to what they wanted, not according to what God had asked them, God had told them, not according to what they needed, but according to their desires. And they gathered themselves together again and put on their armor and went forth against the Lamanites to drive them out of their land. And it came to pass that the Lamanites did beat them and drove them back and slew many of them. And now there was a great mourning and lamentation among the people of Limhi, the widow mourning for her husband, the son and the daughter mourning for their father, and the brothers for their brethren. Now there were a great many widows in the land, and they did cry mightily from day to day, for a great fear of the Lamanites had come upon them. And it came to pass that their continual cries did stir up the remainder of the people of Limhi to anger against the Lamanites. And they went again to battle, but they were driven back again, suffering much loss. Yea, they went again, even the third time, and suffered in the like manner. And those that were not slain returned again to the city of Nephi. Anger itself is a sin, but our emotions can stir us up to a point where we separate ourselves from God. I know, I just told you. Because of the anger, because of the things that had been happening in my life over the past few years, and allowing that to build up and stir me up, my King Limhi gave in. And I made that rash decision. So did they. They made that rash decision because of the emotions, because of the anger, because they weren't willing to listen or think back to the prophecies of Abinadi. Think back to the witness of the prophecy of Abinadi. And they did humble themselves even to the dust, subjecting themselves to the yoke of bondage, submitting themselves to be smitten and to be driven to and fro, burdened according to the desires of their enemies. That's us. When we go about our day without recognizing Jesus Christ, without recognizing the grace and the mercy that He gives us, without submitting ourselves to what He desires of us, who do we wind up being bound to? Who do we wind up being afflicted by? Satan. The world. The world is one of the things that stirs us up and angers us. We're angered about the world because we have this knowledge, but yet we walk out that door and we go about as part of the world. And now the Lord was slow to hear their cry because of their iniquities. Nevertheless, the Lord did hear their cries and began to soften the hearts of the Lamanites, that they began to ease their burdens. Yet the Lord did not see fit to deliver them out of bondage. Sounds like a parent to me. You made your bed, lie in it. There's consequences to your actions. Yeah. He didn't ever leave them, though. He's never left me. As slothful as I can be, as I can't even describe. He's always there. And when I'm brought low, unfortunately, when I'm forced to be low, who's there to pick me up? It's not my mom anymore. It's not my dad. He is. Jesus Christ is. Back to James. Starting at the 6th verse. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He does. When I became so proud, so angry, and so stirred up, he told me. What did I do? I got even more angry, and I made a rash decision. Just like you. You do it. You've done it. We're human. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Yeah. I truly have a desire in my heart to serve my God. But too often, I get in the way of that. Just like everyone here has gotten in their own way, decided to take that adventure off of God's path. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Yeah, that double-minded part, that hypocrisy, that's what I see it as. That's hypocrisy. We come to church and we kneel down and we pray to God and we ask Him for so much. Pray, Lord, you'll heal me. I pray, Lord, you'll help me get through this trial. We come in here and we beg and we plead and we ask Him for all of these things. And we walk right out that door. Right back into the world. And then how is God treated by us while we're out there? He's the Almighty God. Praise the Lord when you're in here. But that hypocrisy that we live in our lives begins as soon as you leave this room. I paint a broad brush. Most of you are perfect. I know you don't do that. I speak of myself. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Cut out the foolish play. Cut out the justification of a little sin. Stop taking pleasure in what the world has to offer and feel the real joy of what God has to offer. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. God hasn't given me a different card that says, okay, you need to judge the law. I don't think He's handed those out to any of us. But we do it. We're judgmental. Look at that person. Look at what they do. It's just like praying for patience, because if you don't watch out, you turn around, you're doing the same thing. There's that hypocrisy again, that double-minded attitude. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Judge the sin, not the sinner, right? Alma, chapter 20, page 464. This is Moroni. He's going against the Lamanites. Zarahemla. We all know the story of Moroni. He raised the... He tore his garment, wrote upon it, raised it. Liberty. He called on God to give him the strength to protect his wife, his family, and his country. Well, here he's been at battle with the Lamanites, and there's a pause in the battle, and Zarahemla is found among the wounded and the dead, and he's brought to Moroni. 79th verse. Now, I cannot retain the words which I have spoken, which he gave him an option. He gave him an out. He offered him a way to live. Now I cannot retain the words which I have spoken, therefore, as the Lord liveth, ye shall not depart except ye depart with an oath, that ye will not return again against us to war. Now, as ye are in our hands, we will spill your blood upon the ground, or ye shall submit to the conditions which I have proposed. And now, when Moroni had said these words, Zarahemla retained his sword, and he was angry with Moroni, and he rushed forward that he might slay Moroni. Moroni went into battle. He went into war because God granted him that strength to protect his wife, his family, and his country. God backed him. Moroni is standing before a man that would just as soon, and proves it there in his actions, slay him on the spot. Because of his greed and his lust and his love to serve the arm of the flesh. Because he didn't go to battle asking God his favor. He did not submit his will to God. Moroni showed mercy upon Zarahemla, like God shows mercy on us. Are you going to be a Zarahemla or a Moroni? When you're in a battle and a struggle, and you're losing, and God offers his hand of mercy to you, are you going to grab your sword and are you going to swing it to cut his hand off? Or are you going to put down your weapon? Are you going to put down that anger? Are you going to put down that sin? Are you going to put down that iniquity? And rise up to the knowledge that you have and the responsibility that goes with that knowledge. Just like a young person coming of age, we're those young people in God's eyes. We're God's children. We've come of age. We have a responsibility because we have a knowledge. But he's still our Father. Are you willing to submit to him? Are you willing to give up everything, anything, and follow after what he desires and be happy with what he puts on you? Because there's a purpose. When he does things, there's a purpose to it. Someone will benefit if you stay steadfast. You know, I've also thought about when it says be meek, and then I read things like this. Meekness isn't a weakness. Meekness isn't a 90-pound scrawny kid that's getting beat up every day. Meekness is empowering. Because God can teach you through meekness. He can give you the strength and the knowledge of when to stand up and be strong and face that enemy and how to face that enemy. Sometime back, our brother Don Case was at the East Local, and I think about this all the time. When he stood up behind the pulpit, he talked about how it's a facade, and how his facade had all these wires. And they were being hidden. And how we're like, in our lives, we have this pulpit, we have this facade, we have this barrier to not let anyone see all those wires and all that mess. And I think about that all the time and how messy my wires are. And, oh, you should see me at work. Wires aren't messy at work, and I look at that pile of wires that I have behind my pulpit, and it drives me crazy. And they're all tangled back there because I haven't submitted. I haven't allowed the Lord to give me the key to that puzzle, to show me, what is that? That load bearing, that one that you can pull, and they all come untangled. I haven't allowed him to do that. I have one more reading. And I love it when the Lord comes to me, comes in my head, comes in my heart. I love it when I read Scripture and the author narrates it for me. And I hear the tone in his voice. And I hear the emotion and the passion and the desire. I'm going to read Psalms 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. When you go in the world, when I ask that, when I said that you leave this auditorium, this sanctuary, you come in here and, like I said, you raise your voice up to God. You plead with God. You ask Him for so much, and then you go out. And the world comes to you, and you work within the world, and God is brought up. Are you ashamed? Do you have shame in your heart? Do you have a fear in your heart? Because that fear is shame. When you were a kid, did your parents embarrass you? Yeah, they do. And today I feel really bad about that. When I look at my mom, my little 85-year-old mom, I feel bad because I was ever ashamed of her. That's how we treat our Heavenly Father. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Let those who serve God. And you have to be willing to serve God. You can't have shame in your heart. He's called you to serve Him. When you wait on Him. Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, I'm begging, I'm pleading, Lord. Forget all of those bad things that I've ever done. Please, Lord, only remember those good things. Remember, Lord, that I do in my heart want to serve you. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach. In the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That fear, it's not a trembling, I'm scared. Although if you're ashamed of him and you're a sinner and you rebel against him, maybe you should fear him. But it's a respect. Do you respect your parents? Did you respect your parents as a youth? Did you disrespect them? Have you respected God? Have you disrespected God? Yeah. I was terrible as a teenager. I could stand right there and have my mom tell me to do something or not do something, and I'd shake my head, yes, yeah, sure. Turn around, and because she told me not to do it, I did it anyway. That was so disrespectful. And all she was doing was trying to keep me from making the mistakes that I made. Guess what? You know what she told me would happen? It happened. She wasn't a prophetess. My dad wasn't a prophet. They just lived life. They had a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of knowledge. But I disrespected them. And I've disrespected my Heavenly Father. I pray He will forgive me. I pray His mercy will be poured out upon me. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. He saved me time and time again. He's kept me from going completely over and shown me there's a better way. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Redeem me, Lord, out of all of my stupidity. It's not ignorance. I have the knowledge. Iniquity is stupidity. When you go against that which is proven time and time and time, hundreds of years, thousands upon thousands of lives and souls, and you go against it, submit yourselves to the will of God. Have that peace. Live peacefully. Put down your weapons. Stop fighting yourself. Thank you.